don't know where the story comes from, but there's a good story about two ducks and a frog that like to play in this farmer's pond. They would play together day after day after day during the spring, and they enjoyed each other's presence, and they missed each other when they couldn't see each other in the evenings, but then the ducks would fly back in, and then they would play and play and play, until as the heat of the summer came on and the pond started to dry up. Well, that was no problem for the ducks. The ducks could fly off to another pond, but that was a real problem for the frog. The frog was stuck there. And so they decided that they would grab a stick, and the two ducks would hold on to the stick in their bills, and then they would fly in formation, and the frog would hang on to the stick, and they would fly that way to the next pond, and so they could continue playing. And so they get the stick, and the two ducks grab on with their bills, and then they take off, and they're flying in formation, and the frog has clamped on to the stick with his mouth, and he's hanging on for dear life as they fly their way towards the next pond. Well, the farmer sees this going on, and he says, "Why, my goodness, look at that. Man, whoever thought of that? Whoever thought of two ducks holding a stick and carrying a frog from one pond to the other?" And the frog said, "I did. Oops." That's the kind of trouble that pride can get you into. Oops, indeed. There was a Benedictine monk who was going on and on rhapsodic about the wonders of the various monastic communities. He said that the Jesuits are known for their scholarship. They're great scholars and students and professors. The Franciscans, they're known for their works of charity. They're greatly renowned for how gracious they are to people in their works of charity, for the poor and for animals. And the Dominicans, they're known as the great preachers of the church. But my order, the order of the Benedictines, is known for its great humility. Whoops. Pride. Pride can get you into all sorts of oopsie-type situations. Pride. Ronald Reagan, in honor of our political season right now, Ronald Reagan, when he was governor of California, went to Mexico City to give a speech. And as he tells the story, "After I had finished speaking, I sat down to rather unenthusiastic applause. And I was more than a little bit embarrassed. The speaker who followed me spoke in Spanish, which I didn't understand. And he was being applauded with every paragraph. To hide my embarrassment, I started clapping before everyone else and longer than anyone else until our ambassador leaned over and whispered to me, 'I wouldn't do that if I were you. He's interpreting your speech.'" Whoops. Whoops. Pride. Pride will get us into trouble every time. It gets all of us into trouble. It gets us into trouble with every possible turn. It gets the Pharisee into trouble today. If you look at the story, if you look at the parable that Jesus tells, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Well, the Pharisee is the person who has studied the law. He studied the Hebrew Scriptures. He knows about the distance between himself and God. He should be there ready and willing to thank God for things, and he does. He says, "I thank my God I'm not like these sinners, thieves and rogues and prostitutes. I thank my God I'm not like these sinners. Woohoo! And certainly not like this dirty, stinking, rotten IRS agent over here." Notice how self-centered, how self-focused, how many times he uses "I" in here. He says, "I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. Twice a week. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. Whoop-dee-doo. Look how self-focused he is. Here he is in the temple, standing in the temple where restitution is made for sin. Does he have any sin to make restitution for? Not in his own eye. And yet, there are many ways in which I see myself in the Pharisee. Pride bursting forth. I'm not a thief. I'm not a rogue. Now, that's probably a good thing. I'm not a thief. I'm not a rogue. I'm not a prostitute. That's a really good thing. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. I'm not like this dirty, stinking, rotten IRS agent. Go to clergy retreats and district meetings and conference meetings and get a bunch of preachers around. They stand around there and they talk and they brag about how things are going on in their churches. And the two people they brag to the most are the district superintendent and the bishop. Making sure that the high muckety bucks and the grand poobahs of the church know what good they're doing. You've seen it, Brian. You've seen it happening all over the place. So have I. You've probably seen me doing it. And me. And I've, yeah. And you. Friends, it's what we do. This bragging, this pride. And every time we do it, we're letting go of the stick and falling. Every time we do it, we're demonstrating that we are just like this Pharisee. Proud of our attainment, what we think we have done, and not paying attention to the vast gulf of separation between ourselves and God. Now the tax collector, the IRS agent, he's standing over there with his eyes downcast and he's beating on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And oh, he has a lot to ask to be forgiven. He is a tax collector. He works for the Roman occupation forces. He's a sellout to the Hebrew people. He's collecting taxes and he earns his income by adding a little more and skimming off the top. He has a lot to be forgiven. And he recognizes the vast separation between God's will for him and his life. He is cognizant, he is aware, he sees truthfully his separation from God and from God's will for him. He knows how much he needs to be forgiven. The Pharisee, the one who should know this, doesn't seem to be aware of it. The one who should know it is more than aware. He's beaten down by it. Oh, if only we could all have that awareness. If only we could all have that degree of awareness of how much we are in need of God's grace, of God's peace, of God's unconditional love and favor. The word used here when he says, be merciful to me, a sinner, the word mercy is the same word from the Greek. It's the word from which we get the word elastic. Not broken, but stretched by increased in size beyond its nominal boundaries to provide room for more. What the tax collector is saying, don't break it for me. Don't bend the rules. Just make them larger for me. I can't, by my own ability, But you can, by your grace and love and mercy, make room for me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. He's recognizing he's a sinner. That word sin means to fall short. It means to miss the mark. It means to fall short of the target. As I've said many times, it's an archery word. It was used in military parlance in the Greek word. The word is harmartia, and it means to, when you let go of that arrow, when you take your bow and your arrow and you let go of the arrow and it flies, the arrow doesn't even make it to the target. It's not that it goes to the left or the right, missing the target that way. You don't even have enough strength to get the arrow to the target. It falls in the ground between you and the target. And you've committed harmartia when you do that. And that is the word that the New Testament takes and applies for the concept of sin. We've fallen short. Fallen short of the mark for God's will for us. We failed to reach that target, that objective that God has for us. And this tax collector recognizes that he is short-fallen. He is a sinner. He is in need of God's mercy, God's grace, because he can't measure up. The Pharisee, unfortunately, thinks he does. The Pharisee thinks he measures up. The Pharisee thinks he has attained it. The Pharisee thinks he has arrived. I thank my God I'm not like these other sinners, thieves and rogues and prostitutes and this tax collector. He thinks he's arrived because he fasts twice a week and he tithes. We think we've arrived because we go to church. We think we've arrived because we approximate a list of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. When in truth, we fail tremendously. We get ourselves into trouble with our pride. Benjamin Franklin, in his autobiography, wrote, "There is perhaps no one of our natural passions so hard to subdue as pride. Beat it down, stifle it, mortify it as much as one pleases, it is still alive. Even if I could conceive that I had completely overcome it, I should probably be proud of my humility then." We think we have a lot of attainment, when in reality we should be crying, "Be merciful to me, for I am short fallen. I fall short of your will for me. Be merciful to me. Make room for me. Make your way elastic so I can squeeze in." Jesus said, the tax collector went home justified, not the Pharisee. The one who recognized his need for grace and mercy went home with his life balanced, not the Pharisee, who had no conception of his shortfallenness. As we move on now towards the end of the year, we got another month to go, and we'll be done with the church year. We'll start Advent in a new church year in December. As we move on this direction, as we move on towards the end of this church year, of the seasons after Pentecost, as we move on in this time, may we begin to recognize anew our need for God with us, Emmanuel. May we begin to recognize again and anew our need of the one who provides balance for our lives. May we begin to recognize again and anew the wonderful message that though we be tax collectors, thieves, and rogues, God's grace, God's love is unconditional if only we will repent, cry out, "Have mercy on me," turn and trust in God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say,
let me dwell in your presence, Lord. Let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of your word. By your grace upon grace, you set me free.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2016 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.